Fight!
Welcome to a very special New Game Plus. It is a retro gaming podcast where three guys usually spend 7 days, usually playing one old game, and then we usually talk about it. I'm usually Dustin.
I'm often referred to as Kenny, but not always.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is a unusual episode. This is the first ever retro recap.
You should make it echo somehow.
Yeah, I was thinking kind of like monster truck effect. You know what I'm talking about? Well, no, not the actual monster truck.
like a monster truck rally going on?
Yeah, at the rally, like the guy on the microphone when he announces things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This crowd's cheering and crunching
money. You should put John Cena music behind that. That'd be perfect. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. So yeah, retro recap. We have got together, put our noggins in one location, and we decided maybe it would be a good idea to have some kind of like semi-regular episode where we just hit pause, we take a breath, and we take time to reflect over our catalog of played games, remembering the good, the bad, and the Jurassic Parks.
Yes, own category.
So that's our plan for this episode, this very special episode that we're going to be releasing to you. But actually, we're releasing this the week of Easter, which is one of my favorite holidays for the event that we're celebrating. And we thought that it would actually be a good idea, in place of a question of the week, which we typically do at the start of our episodes, to start this episode thematically.
We're giving away to all of our viewers bunnies.
I wish.
Dustin has one, but it's not for sale.
Whenever we start taking donations, one of our top donation incentives will be we'll send you a free bunny.
That would be great.
I would sign up for that.
No matter the cost.
No.
Even if it's way more than purchasing a bunny on your own. No, we are not sending anybody any gifts. We are, however, going to talk about Easter eggs.
Video game Easter eggs?
Yeah, not the actual Easter eggs that you can collect from the grass in your backyard.
Both kinds of fun.
Those kinds are fun, although, but there's not much to talk about there.
Video game Easter eggs are awesome because if you don't find them initially and find them later, it's really cool. An actual Easter egg, if you don't find it and find it like lots of years later, it's the worst experience of all. Yeah.
Candy's melted, you know, candy's gone stale, whatever it might be.
Or it's like a penny.
Like, you're not going to give me an actual, like, egg here? Like a boiled egg? Have you guys never not found an egg and then had it rot on you? It's the worst.
I understand, but usually people aren't hiding real eggs.
Actual eggs, you
weirdo.
To
be found by kids.
Oh, your family must have been soft. We didn't play. We hard-boiled.
No one does that, Kenny.
That's not true.
No, it is true.
I've never heard of that before.
You're so weird.
Y'all are dorks.
What are video game Easter eggs for those that are unknowledgeable of the subject?
It's a pretty loose definition. It's really like anything hidden in a game meant to be found later that's unexpected, something that's outside of the game itself.
Yeah. I think that's key, because in a lot of games you've got things that are hidden, but they are a part of the game. That
right.
Does not make it an Easter egg.
No. It really is just something hidden in a game, or in software or in whatever, that is supposed to be found later. That's unrelated to the game.
Kind of like a treat for those that actually do put in the effort to find
exactly
those special
or accidentally stumble on them.
Yeah.
You don't know that they're there necessarily, so that's also what's fun about it.
Right. Either way, it's not crucial to the game content. It's extra, and it's something that when found, it's for the most part fairly clear that this is, you know, an Easter egg. And so there are Easter eggs placed in so many different kinds of media, from movies, I guess even to songs and television shows and movies that maybe reference other television shows or movies, or that have a reference to the producers or the creators. Or I mean, there are so many ways that this can flesh itself out, but they have historically been placed in many of video games. We thought it would be interesting to share with you guys some of our favorite Easter eggs found in video games that we've played throughout the years. So one of you guys feel free to start first.
I have a couple here. So I'm a big Zelda fan. It's probably my favorite franchise. And this is actually the first Easter egg I found myself on accident.
That's cool.
As a kid. It's in Hyrule Castle in Ocarina of Time. The first time you go as a child, you meet with Princess Zelda, and there's a little courtyard area that she is spying through a window in. After you talk to her, it's a really long cutscene. You are leaving, and before you start the next cutscene, you can look through the window in that courtyard area, and there are pictures of Mario characters hanging on the wall. I was very excited when I first found that because I also had Super Mario 64, and I just thought that was the coolest thing that they put that in there. Two different universes, but they referenced them.
And it's very clearly Mario characters. Like I've never seen that. So
yeah, you should look it up. It's so clear. I mean, Bowser, you're not going to mistake Bowser. It's pixelated like crazy for sure, but you can totally tell.
That's cool. What's another one?
Another Zelda one, and they must love their Mario because in Majora's Mask, there is a Mario mask. If you look at the Happy Mask salesman, who is the crazy mask guy who wants you to get Majora's Mask back for him, he has this giant backpack. He's a really skinny guy, and he's got this really big backpack full of masks on it. And there is a Mario mask. If you look at the end of the game, you can see a Mario mask on it. And it's kind of a scary Mario mask. It's not like his just normal face. It's kind of creepy. And that whole game is creepy, so I guess that makes sense.
Kenny, do you have some favorite Easter eggs?
Yeah, when we first said this, I had a few things sort of come to mind that aren't as like overtly Easter eggs. Because like Nolan, I wanted to live within kind of my experiences in games. And so I thought to just some sort of like bonusy content that is game related, but that's kind of hidden and kind of fun. So not strictly an Easter egg, but there was nothing like in the early Warcraft game, poking your peons or clicking on them so many times that you eventually got to like reactions from them that were funny or humorous or talked directly to you. So I guess it kind of breaks the fourth wall. So maybe, you know, kind of an Easter egg. And then other games that just sort of like self-referenced. I remember lots of times chuckling at some of the names of cheat codes in StarCraft that were like references to a Diablo game or something like that. You know, there not being a cow level. And Blizzard has kept that joke running way too long and way too hard through a lot of their franchises. So those were fun, but probably the most blatant Easter egg that I remember, and I don't know if it's the earliest I found, I doubt it, because this was a game I played a little bit later, but was in an old RPG, and it was one of those that, you know, you can kind of stumble across it, and you're like, what in the world is this? And then you realize it's just a whole, like, separate dungeon created to just naming characters, probably a recreation of the actual office of the staff that programmed the game, which is, I think, a fairly common Easter egg theme or trope, you know, is to insert extra credit for the programmers or what have you. So that was a really fun one.
That's cool. There are two mainly that stick out in my mind. My wife told me that I had to include this in our discussion today was when we were playing through Bioshock Infinite together. There are a few anachronistic songs that are scattered throughout the game, and I wouldn't necessarily call those Easter eggs because you're going to find those and you're going to hear those as long as you're in the right location and you follow the music. But there is one that is completely skippable, and it's where you can, I think it's down in a basement, and you're able to interact with a guitar. There's an acoustic guitar, I believe, just sitting, along the wall, and you're able to interact with it. And then Booker, the main character, he plays the guitar while Elizabeth, the girl, sings "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And it was just... that one we did stumble upon without knowing anything about it, and it was a really, really cool Easter egg.
Yeah, that one was fun for sure. I really enjoyed that one.
There's one other that, Kenny, you didn't mention, and so I will. There's a little game called Final Fantasy VII that if you're playing it and you get high levels and you get high HP and you start playing the game, or you continue playing the game and you get in battles and your health gets depleted and accidentally lands on a specific number being 7777, 7777, then your character goes into this lucky sevens mode where you no longer have control over them, and they just continue slashing at the enemy and do 7,777 damage each time that they hit until the end of that fight. And then I think your health is depleted all the way, or your health is 7,776, so that you can't do it again. But the reason why I pointed out Kenny in this is because Kenny has a specific story that goes along with this particular Easter egg.
That's not an Easter egg. It's a mechanic.
And Easter egg?
No one is as smart as me, because I'm like every video gamer, and I think that to some degree. And so I realized that since they tried to make this feature one that was difficult to get, that you had to kind of stumble upon, you couldn't get intentionally.
Like an Easter egg.
That I was going to find a way to make you be able to get it at will. And so when I was doing a playthrough of this game, there's a mechanic in the game where if you run away from battle, there's a skill that will do damage specifically based on the number of times you had run away from a battle. And so I realized it would be really, really, really easy to just set your characters to their max HP, then perform this skill on one of your own party, and automatically get 7,777 life. And
were
trigger
you able
this awesome
to ever
event.
Do that?
I mean, it wasn't much of an undertaking. All you had to do was run away from battle 2,222 times.
Were you able to do that?
Which is not that many. And so I actually engineered with some rubber bands and some creativity on a boss that he automatically starts a fight with you. You don't have to, initiate the battle yourself. A way to set the game and walk away so that I could run away from battle lots of times and it would be automated. And then my rubber band fell off halfway through the day, and the game had messed up minutes after that, and I'd only run away from somebody like 5 or 8 times after I'd set it down and walked away. And so I tried to do it manually, and I didn't have the fortitude, because that was lots of running away, and I gave up.
So long story short, Kenny never finished the game during that playthrough, because
I got
he
frustrated.
Refused to finish the game until he got that automatic lucky seven.
And he's never
battle.
Beat the game to this day.
No, that's not true. I beat the game. I haven't beat that playthrough of the game.
That playthrough. Oh. Yeah. But I sat there and watched him play through the majority of that playthrough. He gets all the way to the final dungeon and refuses to finish it because he's got to get that lucky sevens. And he still has promised me that he's going to finish it someday.
You've got that saved file somewhere. Don't get rid of it.
On my memory card?
Uh-huh.
So now that we've gotten that good portion of our podcast over with, we are going to do what this retro recap is all about, and that is that we are going to kind of systematically walk through each of the games that we have played so far. Now, that sounds like a huge undertaking, and it would be if we were to dedicate a huge amount of time to each of these games, but that's not our plan. We're going to look through our catalog, and we'd love for you to feel free to look through it with us as we talk about these, but we'll spend a little time on most of these games. You know, we might even just say a sentence or two, or just refuse to talk further about it because we don't want to relive those memories. And then we might spend a little bit more time on a select few of these games because of what they meant for us, or how much fun it was to play it, or whatever it might be the case.
So let's jump in. Let's get retrospective on ourselves.
Episode 1.
Earthworm Jim.
Episode 2.
Had no idea what I was getting into, was bad at the game, has fun quirks.
Why did we select that to be our first game?
I don't know. Dustin thought this was actually a really, really good game to be first.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with the game selection. The only thing I remember, though, if you go back and listen to it, the only thing I remember is within the first few seconds, Dustin introduces the podcast, and then we just laugh because we're like, why are we doing this?
Right. So we had like, guys, if you've never created a podcast, it takes a lot of guts to just kind of sit down and then put yourself out there like this. So we had all gotten our microphones. We'd all gotten planned out how we're going to record this. And then we start recording, start talking, and immediately just start laughing at ourselves. Kenny makes a mentally challenged joke within the first few seconds, and
he says the
just
R
goes
word.
Downhill from there.
Oh gosh! All right.
It was a rough start, but it was a start. But then things immediately got better because then we got to play Half-Life.
It was the first time that I had ever played the game.
Me too.
So I didn't know what I was about to jump into, but I had obviously heard about it many times, and it lived up to the hype.
Yep. Notable high point for me. I love that game, and so it was really fun to like talk about it with you guys, especially Dustin, since you had never played it. So good, so good.
Yeah, it was a great game. It will endure.
Episode 3 was Perfect Dark, and meh.
That was a Nintendo 64 game. It was kind of the spiritual successor to
GoldenEye,
For me, it was just a really, I don't know, it was a really difficult game, button configuration. I think it was a kind of like a grittier, grimier, darker 007 with a female protagonist. And I don't know, I just think it didn't do it as well as GoldenEye. It didn't
That's
do
fair.
It for me.
Like, I've always heard so much hype and love for this game, and I don't remember what I said about the game, but now, like, looking back, it's whatever, you know? It wasn't GoldenEye, you're right.
Yeah, it was a fine game, weird story, though, and when you're playing games back-to-back, I had a hard time not comparing it to Half-Life, and so that made it especially difficult.
Especially
if we played it further out, it would have probably been more enjoyable.
Very true. And you said weird story, but man, it starts like a straight-laced, like, detective, like, espionage type thing. And halfway through the game, it gets so weird. It turns into UFOs and aliens. And the alien's name is Elvis.
Yeah,
and
his name's Elvis. That's the worst
He's
part.
Wearing an American flag vest.
Tank top.
And
it's
just
terrible.
It gets so... I feel like it starts with a strong, tight-knit story and just unravels very quickly.
Episode 5, Mega Man 2.
What? You skipped it. You don't even want to talk about it. It was so bad.
We cannot skip one of the greatest games and episodes that we have ever undertaken.
The one game we've actually referred to more than any others because it was
No, we're not even going to give it that title.
We have.
We talk about it a lot. I'm going to stop talking about it.
Both Nolan and Kenny give this game, I feel, a harder time than it deserves. Was it a bad game? Yes. Was it the worst game ever? No.
We don't know that.
If we were going to start making fun of another game as at least it wasn't as bad as, which one that we've done would you put on the list, Dustin?
We want to talk about that now?
When we get there, tell me that this is the one. You got to give me some alternative because we've got to have a lowest bar that we can refer to, and for me this game is it.
I mean, I could probably throw out a couple that I enjoyed less than I enjoyed Jurassic Park. And I didn't enjoy Jurassic Park, but you've got games like Civilization 2, and you've got games like Atlantis, and you've got
two shots. Kenny's not.
I'm just
shots
saying there are
fired.
There are worse games than Jurassic Park.
I said it
when we played it, and I'll say it again, but I felt like this is a speedrunning type game. I've never fancied myself for a speedrunner. I've always kind of like dreamed that I was one or would be one someday. I mean, I've got high goals that I'm aspiring to, guys, but playing through Jurassic Park, this Super Nintendo game, was it? Or NES?
Something.
It was one that that you could really feel the speed if you want to just race through that game.
And by race through the game, he means go back and forth in each level 5 times doing pointless things. Okay.
We got to move on.
I'm done whining.
Now we can talk about Nolan's highlight, I am sure. Episode 5, Mega Man 2.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you said it, it's probably the most enjoyable game that we've played, or for me, that we've played. It's just so fun. It's so fun.
It's up there for me. I had never played Mega Man 2. I thought I had when we were going into it, but I think I had spent time playing Mega Man 3 in the past. Because I'd always played the one with Snake
Man.
And so this one was something surprising, because it had that same vibe of a game I remembered, but even other better juicy nuggets of goodness. And
come on, so what?
Just like worst of quality. I know. I just say what comes to my head sometimes. But no, this one was like enough fun that I even had other people play it with me. And like, you know, it was a great game.
What is it about it that you like so much, Nolan?
I want to say the art style, but it's not that. It's just how, like, it's the gameplay. It's how fluid the gameplay is by far. And given how old it is, it's very impressive to me that it's like so intuitive to move around and to platform. And it's hard. And Mega Man's hard. It's not easy.
Tough game.
But that's tough that game. Was enjoyable for me. The challenge. I beat it twice that week in 1 week. That's the only game I've done that with so far.
That's awesome.
Episode 6. It's time for Animaniacs.
What kind of juicy nuggets do you have for us this time, Ken?
Cartoon was better than the game.
Yeah.
It's a fun franchise. I didn't care for the game that much.
Hang on. This was the Sega and SNES version.
Yeah, Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. This was the first game where they kind of released in tandem two different versions, but not just for two different systems, two different versions. So I think... I don't remember which one you played, Kenny. You'll have to remind me. But I played the Super Nintendo. Nolan, you played the Sega.
Yes.
Kenny, I feel like I played whichever one was the worst of the versions.
You played the SNES version with Dustin,
yeah,
I remember.
Then the Super Nintendo. Because I remember, Nolan, you enjoying the Sega one more than we enjoyed the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I definitely liked it. And I played this one a lot as a kid as well. So it was very nostalgic for me. So that may have added some bias. But yeah, the Sega one... kind of from a lot of people's opinion, is the better version.
All I know is now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head all day.
That's okay.
I'm not complaining. Then episode 7 was Prince of Persia.
Which, in my opinion, I don't know about out of all the games, but up until this point, you know, 1 through 7, it to me felt like the most aged game that we had played.
Totally.
Yeah.
It might have been. It's one of the oldest games that we played.
I think it was. It was the Apple II, right? So up until then, yeah, that was the oldest one.
But it felt like that. You know, some games you don't feel the age, but with Prince of Persia, you felt the age. It was hard to control the character. The music was non-existent in the version that I played. There are so many versions of this Prince of Persia. It's a hard platforming one. Like, you don't have any clue where to go. There's no map, and so you're just wandering around trying to make these long leaps over these chasms, and it's a very
mechanics
very
were really
game.
Frustrating for me. But it was also very pretty. I thought for the system it was on, and some of that may have been the re-release, or some of that may have been because it wasn't made for console originally. I thought it was a really, really pretty game, surprisingly.
Lol. The only opinion I have about this one is input lag, and now we can move on.
Episode 8 is one of the worst games we played, Civilization 2.
Not true by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, it wasn't good, Kenny.
It's a great game.
We came into it, and you had biases, Kenny.
Civilization is a great franchise. Civ 2
is what started that, basically.
Sure, but it wasn't fun.
Oh, no, because I don't know what's wrong with you guys.
Kenny, I'm convinced this. Why is this game so good?
Because it is. Everything about it. Like, it's what made Civilization great. You've got a variety of approaches on how to win the game. You've got fun characters. You've got strategy. You've got important decisions to make. It's replayable because it's different every time with a completely generated world. It defined my childhood, and you can't take that from me. And also,
that's
Elvis.
What it is.
You've got some great actors in the game guide.
And you got to upgrade your throne room. This game was amazing, and we will forever disagree about its place in gaming history. But I've got to just accept that.
You can't just mention... No, stop. You can't just mention Elvis and then move on. Elvis being in Civilization 2, my question is, what in the world are you talking about?
Oh, you had advisors that were, like, animated, and they'd come on and help you know what was going on. And one of them was Elvis.
Your like attitude advisor, like how the people are doing or something?
Yes.
Episode 9 was Gauntlet Legends, and Dustin, I think this one was your high point, right?
One of them, because, I mean, not only did we just come out of a really rough patch.
Kenny's just going to tune out for a while.
Gauntlet Legends was one that I had played in the arcade when I was younger, but hadn't touched it since. So I had some fond memories, but I had forgotten how much fun it is. It's an action RPG type arcade experience, and this is one of the few games that I played from start to finish, and this is not a short game by any means, and so I spent the majority of the week playing through this game, and just a load of fun for me.
I had trouble with this one, just staying interested, and I remember not having that much fun with it. I think we played different versions that week because it is an arcade game, but it was also on the N64.
Yeah, and a few other consoles.
But, yeah, I don't know why that I didn't like it that much.
I was somewhere in between. I had some fun with it, but wouldn't go nearly as far as to hype it as much as Dustin did. But for some reason, it just hit all the buttons for you, which is fun. Because that's what retro gaming is about, ultimately, is hitting the right buttons.
I feel like we're going to be so mad at each other by the end of this retro recap.
We might be, but, I mean, are we just going to bypass Kenny's pun or what?
No, you got to just let it stand.
Oh, I was bypassing that.
It's an Easter egg.
It's better to let them stand? Easter.
It's an Easter egg.
Well, it's not
anymore. Episode 10 was special. Episode 10 was special because we decided we didn't roll that week. It might have been the first time that we didn't roll. And we actually did that for a purpose. I think it was in the same week that Fallout 4 was released?
Yes,
correct.
So kind of in honor of the franchise.
In honor of the franchise, we decided to play the original Fallout.
Which is better than Fallout 4.
Oh my goodness.
No, okay, that was a little extreme. I'm just a little bitter because I was so hyped for Fallout 4, if you remember. I barely played Fallout 1, to my shame, that week because of Fallout 4. And gotta say, haven't played it in a long time, and it's not what I was hoping.
You're talking about Fallout 4.
I'm talking about Fallout 4, yes. So
yeah,
but
yeah.
Dustin, you did a speed run of this game, of Fallout 1 that week, right?
Yeah, we started a YouTube channel about this time and threw up our first content. I didn't record it to go up on our YouTube channel. I recorded it for you guys. And then one of you were like, maybe we should just throw that up and make it available for our viewers. And yeah. So I put it up there. But yeah, so I had played this previously because here's the story. Nolan wanted me to play Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, but I've got this freak personality that I've got to start at the beginning of a series. This is not one in hindsight that I needed to because it's not, you know, connecting stories for the most part. But for whatever reason at the time, I thought that I needed to start at the very beginning. And so I didn't start with Fallout 3. I didn't start with New Vegas. I started with the original Fallout. And I remember having to grind through Fallout and Fallout 2 because they are very difficult games and there's some age there. But coming through and playing it for the podcast recently, 4 months ago, it was enjoyable for me. And I played it a lot. I didn't get through a complete storyline of it, but I did, after I played through the story a little bit that week, I did actually learn how to speedrun it, which is not a difficult process. And I did it in about 10 minutes and was thoroughly enjoyable.
I gotta say, there's so many game series that if you stick to that hard will just bite you because first versions of games are often so, so, so rough.
True.
I'm telling you, sequels is where it's at.
True, but listen, there's got to be a reason that a series could extend that far, and it's got to begin somewhere at the beginning.
So Fallout, all I remember is the controls were really clunky. When I watched the introductory video, I was blown away and thought it was going to be the best game ever. So I sat down and wanted to share that experience, had my girlfriend try and play, and she played like 2 minutes and like punched a rat 3 times and then died and got really mad at me for trying to make her play this video game. And I've heard about it ever since.
You shouldn't die to rats that early. There's something wrong there.
Well, she's not like a video game person.
Not with her. I'm talking about the game.
Oh, yeah.
SimCity.
Episode 11. Listen, if there's a like civilization building kind of game that you're going to knock, it shouldn't be Civ 2. It should be SimCity. This game is just kind of flat.
I'll knock SimCity. That's okay. Fine. Yeah. But I'm also going to knock Civ 2. Listen, I went into this with great expectations because I love the Sim franchise. And I played SimCity, and I made the point in episode 11. What I grew up with was not the original SimCity, I guess. It was the SimCity kind of remake on the Super Nintendo, I believe.
Which
it
is
still
way
called SimCity. 10,000 times better and very enjoyable. But this original, I played this original SimCity, and the interface is rough and the game is, like Kenny said, flat. Mm-hmm. It was not enjoyable for me.
I remember bashing this one pretty hard, and I stand by it because, and one of my main things was that there was no reward. There was lack of reward. And I know it's a simulation city building game, so like the reward is, I guess, building your city, but you know, there just seemed like a huge lack of content for me.
The reward is getting frustrated enough that you just start summoning all of the bad things to happen until your city's destroyed, and then you laugh and you never play the game again.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's key because in this Super Nintendo version, you do get rewards and awards every so often to keep you interested and to keep you going to the next population limit or whatever it might be. And it's loads better. So if you are going to ever want to go back and play one of the early SimCity games, don't play the original. Play that remake on the Super Nintendo, my advice.
I'm smiling so big.
Episode 12, Sunset Riders. I knew you were going to be excited. This one surprised me. I wasn't expecting much, but I got Contra with more flair and class and humor, and this game was a blast.
I think Nolan just fell in love with a particular character.
Colmano, he's the man. Like, that game was so much fun. We all loved this game, huh? And we should have played it together.
I did.
Oh, absolutely. It was a great game.
I actually was able to play it. My brother and I was home for a holiday, and my brother and I were able to play through together. And so, because it's originally on arcade, and so my brother played one of the characters, I played another, and we were able to get through the entire game together. Now, heavily using save states, because it once again, is a difficult game. One bullet kills you.
Oh, yeah. You feel the arcade-ness of it. It's really hard. But, I mean...
But worth it.
So enjoyable. Yeah, so worth it. And
if you've got enough coins.
Yeah, you better get those quarters ready. But another highlight for me, for sure.
Episode 13 was Sonic the Hedgehog, the original Sonic game.
Big the Cat.
This is the episode I think we may have offended Kenny. Gone a little too far calling him Big the Cat. And then reading the description of Big the Cat.
Yeah.
It was rough.
Looking at him. We stopped and looked it up in the
middle. I'm allergic to cats. No one even likes them. Anyhow, I don't know. Sonic. Like, you like
Hang
it or you don't.
Well, I'm kind of with Kenny. Sonic is not my genre. It's speed is not what I enjoy. I like slow, meticulous, planned out games and ones that require a lot of movement very quickly. Is not my favorite.
Yeah, it's an iconic game. It was fun to do, but I feel like it's one everybody knows, and like you like it or you don't. And I don't know. To me, just nothing stands out about it.
Well, I would say that it's really pretty, and the music. I think they nailed the music because I hear songs right now in my head from Sonic the Hedgehog.
No, I'm still singing Animaniacs.
It's amazing. 5 stars. It's a gem. And we got punished for calling Kenny Big the Cat with Atlantis the next week.
Yeah,
I got punished at least.
That's what you guys get.
It's another game I was so excited for, man. Just so much promise with Atlantis and the mythos, and then we played this game.
Y'all, it sucked. It was so bad. Like, low point. This rivals Jurassic Park for me, at least.
For me, the problem was just mechanical. Like, I was even okay with the storyline, though it was cheesy, and the graphics of the world, given the time that the game came out, and, like, I got what they were trying to do, but the, like, click to walk, and then watching you walk, and then, like, the puzzles that were not forgiving, not because they were difficult, but because, like, mechanically they just didn't make sense, it was rough.
Kenny, if I recall, it was one of the earliest puzzles that you got stuck on and never passed, right?
Yeah.
The constellation.
The sun and the moon, the eclipse.
I got stuck on it just for a long time. I had to, like, go look it up. And I was doing it right, but I spent half the week trying to basically solve one puzzle and, like, was, like, a click or two off, but from the screen you couldn't tell. And it didn't tell you, like, whether you had actually achieved something or not, or you couldn't tell, so I was having to, like, restart the puzzle every time. It was just super frustrating, and then lots of other
Dustin,
things.
Wait, Dustin, did you beat this game that week?
No, I got way to the very end, and then we had to record the podcast, and during the podcast, I said, I'm going to go back and finish it because I've already invested this much time into it, but I could not bring myself to do it.
It's been.
But karma does work, because we got free of that game. And then got to probably my favorite game that we've touched easily.
Chrono Trigger, episode 15. And I agree with you, Kenny. So good.
So good. Like, we could record this podcast for, like, another 2 years every week. And the time I've put into it is worth it just for me discovering Chrono Trigger.
Wow. Chrono Trigger is widely considered one of the best RPG video games.
I can agree.
And I mean, it's got those iconic sprites, you know, it's your JRPG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's completely that, and you've even got some artists that worked on some of the Dragon Ball stuff, and so you've got that kind of flair, and then your party is very diverse, from a robot to a girl that may or may not be a princess to a frog warrior knight. You know, you've got all of these different characters that come and join your party. It is a really good story, but I was actually surprised because I never invested much time into this game until we played it that week, and I did not enjoy it like I wanted to. And I struggled to figure out why, and I came to the conclusion, and I still don't know if this is specifically why, but because of the lightheartedness of it, because of, you know, regular jokes and it being not this, like, deep drama, I was kind of turned off by it and didn't enjoy it as much as I thought that I would.
See, that's part of what sucked me in. Like, 2 minutes in, and I was fighting a boss who, like, actually made me laugh, and a lot of times when they try humor in video games, it just falls flat. And it was hilarious to me, and I just got hooked. And I've probably put more time per that week into this game, because it's a long one, you know, than into any other game that we've played.
I was going to say that despite the length of this game, I think I beat it that week. Mm-hmm. I at least got very close, and it took a long time, but I enjoyed every minute of it. And if a game can do that to me, like, if I'm putting off work to play on my emulator... then that was a good game.
The next game we played was Duke Nukem 3D,
which was episode 16, and I think we collectively had problems and issues with this game.
Yeah, not a fan. A lot of people love this game. It's supposed to be classic, and I guess I'd say it is, but
like, if you're stuck as a 7th grader and kind of a bad person, and your taste is a little questionable on top of that, then maybe you love this game. I'm so offensive to so many people right there, but it really is just an offensive game, and so, like, I have a hard time apologizing for it.
Like, I feel like if you shopped at Gadzooks or Hot Topic when you were in middle school, and you, like, it's just that whole kind of, I don't know, I felt like I needed to take a shower.
And then it wasn't even, like, a great game on top of that. Like, you don't even have to scroll up and down. You can shoot underneath things, and they die. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
I couldn't get into it at all.
I kind of liked the gameplay, or I could at least see the appeal of it and its success and the way it was designed and everything. But the content layered on top of it, just layer on layer of stupid things, distracted from the gameplay for me. So I don't know why people love it so much.
episode 17 was a game called NetHack, which it was a very, very unique game.
Probably one of the most unique games we've played.
Yeah, and one of the older ones, 1987, I believe, was the release. Very unique. What I mean, describe. It's not. You're not looking at graphics.
No, it's a text-based interface, like ASCII characters, that create simple dungeons for you. So think like a DOS era video game.
Exactly.
But wasn't text-based, though it was lots of text input commands and lots of text that came up. You were still in a physical space in a dungeon, and you just had to crawl through a dungeon. It's a rogue style dungeon where you just like go until you beat the game or you die. And really complex,
really hard,
really, really high learning curve. And so difficult on those fronts, but clearly a classic game that has lots of appeal for a lot of people. So if you're hardcore and old school, by all means play NetHack.
Like, your character, just to help you picture this before you go and pick up a copy, or you can find free source all over the internet, but you are the at sign. That's how you're represented. Your pet is represented by the letter F.
Lowercase F.
And you hit the directional buttons to move around the map, or you use the numpad to move around the map, and when you move, your field of vision is increased, and you walk through doors or kick doors over, and realistically you die just either at the very first level or the second level down. Yeah, the point is you crawl to the deepest part of the dungeon, and then I think that's where the real story comes into play. But none of us really got that far, because it's very, very easy to die in this game.
Episode 18 was Chip's Challenge, and
which was a total nostalgia blast for me. I played this as a kid all the time.
Yeah, Kenny, you were excited for this one, huh? I feel like you added this one.
I really was. I'm the one who put it on the list. Yeah.
Yeah, when we first got together and we started the Retro Master list, we each, added 6, 7, 8 games, and this was one of Kenny's that he had hoped for. And really, you got this fairly early on. I mean, only
Absolutely.
18 episodes in out of the thousands that we're going to end up recording,
Yeah.
So you didn't have to wait that long. It's a straight up puzzle game. Okay. So very, very light on story, very light on graphics. It's not graphically based. It's even light on music. That's not the focus. The focus is you are a character that is moving around various stages. There's tons of stages, if I recall correctly, like over 100, and they're each different and require you to do different things to be able to get the amount of chips that you need and beat the stage.
Yeah, it's just a super casual puzzle game, but that's surprisingly addictive and a little more difficult once you actually get into some of the puzzles than you'd think it would be. And diverse early Windows title in terms of, or at least like how I played it and one of the ways it was released. It may have been on something else as well, but in terms of its look and feel, worth picking up if you want to sit down and just play it occasionally, kind of filler in my mind.
Episode 19 was a game called Guardian Heroes. Was it an arcade game, or did it just feel like an arcade game?
It felt like one.
And this game had awesome artwork, I thought. It was really cool. And is this the one where the character has the pet rabbit that follows him around? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember much about the end game. I just remember the beginning being thrown into chaos, like having to learn really quick.
Oh, you just jump straight in. Yeah.
I feel like it did not work, this game, because it had these RPG elements. You would gain experience throughout the stage, and then you could possibly level up, and you could designate where you want those points to go in your build, kind of like a special in Fallout. But it was a hit 'em up. It was a beat 'em up.
It was a button masher.
It was a button masher, and those games caused me stress and anxiety, and is not something that I enjoyed whatsoever. Although the art style, probably one of the better ones that we played, but the just the story and the mechanic, I just feel like it mechanically did not work for me.
The story's cheesy and gets big, and it definitely is a lot of button mashing, so I'd only recommend it for somebody who likes sort of that action RPG side-scrolling, hit a lot of buttons, get crazy big powers sort of game. But if that's your go-to, this is definitely a classic in that vein. And I enjoyed it.
Start to finish.
Yeah, I played a good amount of it.
You played it from start to finish.
Yeah, but that's not saying much. It's a fairly short game.
Episode 20 was a big one. One because, 20, I guess, is a milestone, but it was our first guest as well. Gaming J was on that episode.
Gaming J was a friend of ours that has a YouTube channel where he is systematically playing through 1,000 of the games that you must play before you die, and he's doing a great job going through that catalog. But the same week that we played this game and then released the podcast, he played through this game on his channel and put up some Let's Plays about the game Contra 3. We had him on the podcast to talk about it, and I think it was just one of our best podcasts. It was really good having him on.
He was a perfect one to start with as a guest. And the Contra series is classic, so that was a lot of fun to talk about. And just made for a really cool week.
I think Contra 3 is a really, really good game. I love the power-ups. I love the simplicity of the concept, but the difficulty of trying to make that concept work and trying to beat the stages. I thought there's a lot of character with this game, and I think they do it really well.
And then we get to Monster Rancher 2.
For episode 21, which you did not enjoy as you expected.
No, I thought I was going to love this game so much just because of crazy nostalgic experience. If you want that story, go back and listen to the episode itself. But it's a Monster Rancher game. Like, it's exactly what the title sounds like. It's like Tamagotchi meets Pokemon meets a little cheesier. And some fun things about it, but overall, not as much fun as I expected it to be.
You kind of made me sad because your nostalgia from the game involved me in some of our times in college.
I still love this game because of that, and I still smile every time I think about it, but I don't know that I'll ever pick it up and play it again.
Yeah. Compact discs sold separately.
Because hundreds you can use of them. Your discs to create new monsters and sometimes get special monsters. You've got to go back and listen to the episode to see what that's all about, but I really enjoyed it. My wife and I raised a little monster together, battled him, got him stronger, and he never died on us, which is good. So it was a very fun experience.
I wasn't having it. The battle system was a little wonky for me, and I don't have a awesome Kenny story tied to it, so I kind of knew that it wouldn't be that great for me. But
episode 22 actually featured our second guest ever to be on the podcast with us. As we played Vigilante 8, we brought on Dan Q8000.
Super cool guy, and we played Vigilante 8 because he's a fan of card games, and that was cool to share a game that he remembered from his childhood. But holy cow, it was a rough game.
I think that might be the first game or only game we've played that kind of marked the end, but you don't see that genre much anymore. The vehicle, what is it? Vehicle combat?
Vehicular combat.
So that was very interesting to talk about, and I liked talking about that with Dan Q because he loves those kinds of games.
Yeah, but it was interesting because we got to the end of the podcast and we were giving out our New Game Plus seal of approval or not, and I believe that we all did not, including Dan Q.
Uh-huh. It's like his favorite game, but he's like, yeah.
He's don't. Like, I love... I have memories of this game as a kid, but no one pick it up and play it.
Yeah, that's right. Really funny. Yeah. I forgot about that. And he's so nice. I made a video, telling his viewers to come check it out, and great guy, and it was awesome having him on.
Yeah, lots of fun having him on. Dan Q is a cool dude.
Episode 23 was Age of Empires 2, and let me say, I've been wanting to play this game since we were done with it. I didn't get all the enjoyment that I wanted out of it. I want to play with you guys, and I need to get it on Steam. I didn't have it on Steam, it turns out, but I need to get it on Steam because
yeah, you should, because we need to play.
Weirdest thing, because out of all these games that we played, the one that I've really wanted to go back to and get some more time with is Age of Empires.
We need to. We all want to.
It's a great game. It really is.
I don't think that, you know, I don't think it was necessarily the best game that we've played so far, but for some reason,
it's a very, very fun game, though.
And
I'm a huge real-time strategy fan person, and if you asked me if Age of Empires 2 was the best real-time strategy game, I would even tell you no, that there are others that are way better, but this one's so fun.
Dustin, why do you feel that way? Like, why do you want to go back to it like that? Because I do too, but I don't really know why.
I think in part, the majority of the games we played are single players. And when you play with somebody else, that adds a whole new dimension to a game and to the excitement that's behind there. There's the competitive nature of that. But then, it really is just a good game. It's a good, solid game that they've added on to a lot, and with the HD remake in recent years, I don't know, I just think there's a lot of appeal there to go back and play it, and it's a game that that's really easy to pick up and play and learn, and then to play with someone even across the world because of Steam.
Yep, that's it.
Episode 24 was another nostalgia bomb for Kenny, called Dragon Warrior.
Man, maybe the hardest of the nostalgia bombs for me. I played this game so much as a kid, and still enjoyed it this time through as well. It's a lot simpler than a lot of other RPGs. It is very kind of early in that progression. It's NES, and it's pretty straightforward, and lots of grind. You know, you're killing monsters a lot of times to get the resources you need to progress. But some fun discovery moments and some sort of classically RPG elements that make this one a winner for me, but maybe a tall order for someone just because of its payoff if you were to go back and play it.
I really did enjoy it, but I commented on the episode, there's a lot of grinding in this game, and it's not grinding along with the story so that you can, you know, be capable or excel even to greater limits. It's you've got to stop playing the game, the story for a few hours so that you can just grind the same three monsters over and over again, so you can get the equipment that you can actually just stay alive and actually try to succeed in the upcoming battles. So I think that took away from it, but we also mentioned that there is a remake of the game, a re-release, where they did balance some of those numbers and figures out so that it wasn't as difficult of a process as that original Dragon Warrior game was.
Yeah, and this is another example of like a long franchise that had a rough start, or I guess not rough in Kenny's eyes, but you look at Dragon Quest, which is the name of the franchise and the name of that game now, and how far it's come, and it's a huge difference. So that was interesting too to see.
Yeah, it's just early, but that's some of the charm for me, is just that it is very much an old game.
One of the greatest games ever, episode 25, Super Godzilla.
Okay, earlier in the podcast, Kenny asked you, Dustin, something. Is this...
is this the one? I thought it might be. The game you think is worse than Jurassic Park?
It's not a good game.
No, it's definitely not. I think... Okay, if you haven't listened to this episode, go listen to this episode, because it's... We hated this game. I think we showed our hate more than we did in the Jurassic Park episode. I'm not sure why. Yeah. I don't know if we were more comfortable or what, but
we're trying to stay
balanced.
Nolan
just got really, really offended by this game.
In this game, we were like, all right, overview. And Nolan's like, I hate this game. And then we got to gameplay, and he's like, it's played like this, and I hate it. And then we get to how it's aged, and he's like, it aged terribly. I hate it. So, like, all the way through. And Kenny stayed fair and balanced until there's this one point where he just snaps.
Yeah, he lost it because I asked him a question or something, and he was, you know, he was telling me about it and trying to remain neutral. And the more he talked about it, the angrier he got, and he eventually had to calm down. So Super Godzilla was not fun, and that was a rough week for me on NGP.
Me too.
Just continuing that frustration into the next week, we've got the Pizza Crusher himself, the Noid.
In episode 26, Yo Noid.
What is this game, guys? After talking about it, I still don't know what this is.
I have nightmares.
It's
rough.
You should
look at the stupid thumbnail. What a dumb mascot.
You really can, like, you really can sum it up in, like, there is a Japanese game that was not great, like, sort of okay, and then Domino's pays Capcom to port that game over and reskin it with a kind of creepy mascot and to make it make less sense accidentally by giving it, you know, even less plot and involving lots of pizza so that somehow this branding is relevant, and then calling it a game, and that's
it. This might be one of the worst localizations of all time. Like, it was so different from the original game that this is, like, localized from, like, the engine it uses. It's so different. One, because the character looks like an idiot. It's the worst mascot. Even before the game, like, Domino's, what were you thinking? But then the whole thing that the game is basically a commercial, a Domino's commercial. And it's not a fun game, so it's not worth it.
And your boss battles are pizza-eating contests that are actually just a simple logic game,
no,
but that
legit.
Sometimes can't even be beat because of how your level went.
I get to go first because I'm reigning champ.
Oh, my goodness. But the most recent episode that we have recorded and released is episode number 27, and that game was Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, what a great game.
Yeah, classically N64. Like, the game feels like what the 64 was to me.
I think, yeah, I think that might be what I love so much about it. It's like the high point of the N64, and I know that opinion will vary just depending on who you talk to and what games they enjoyed as a kid. But yeah, just from the graphics to the controls to the characters, it screams N64 and Rare, one of Rare's best games, in my opinion. I love that game.
All right, let's do this in conclusion. I want all of us to be able to wisely select our least favorite game that we've played so far, our most favorite game that we've played so far, and the game that surprised us the most, meaning we really enjoyed it and weren't expecting that, or we really hated it and weren't expecting that. All right, so do y'all have the parameters?
I got the parameters. This will be fun, but also hard, yeah. Because I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say.
Kenny, do you want to start first? What's your least favorite so far?
Okay, so surprisingly for me, my least favorite, though obviously there were some other bad ones, but my least favorite was actually Vigilante 8. It's just like, it's a rough game, and then also that's completely not my style of game. I'm not really a car guy, I'm not really a shooter guy, and so when you have cars that are just shooting each other, it's tough for me. Yeah. So, you know, enjoyed it for what I could, and was fun having a guest that week, but that's probably been my least favorite game.
Nolan, you ready for your least favorite?
Yes. My least favorite is Atlantis. And I know you probably thought Super Godzilla or Jurassic Park, and those were also really bad, so this wasn't an easy choice, but it was Atlantis for me, because I can at least get behind the concept of the other two. Like, they're based off movies or shows or whatever, and that can work. It doesn't often, but, like, whatever. But Atlantis, and I'm also about, like, fantasy stories and concepts, but the concept of pointing and clicking, and then bad dialogue, bad graphics, bad game.
Yeah. And so we're each going to have a different least favorite, which is interesting. This is not my least favorite, but I just want to go on record saying Duke Nukem 3D I thoroughly did not enjoy. But my least favorite was Civilization 2.
Oh. You're so
that.
Wrong. That's I so want to make you replay this game. And
no.
Get
no,
it.
Hey, don't be You're one of those blinded. People that think that any other opinion is wrong.
I mean, most of the time I'm not, but
you're blinded by
here,
bias.
Here, I think you might have missed it.
Possibly
know.
So.
I thought Duke Nukem would be yours, Dustin. Actually, it was almost mine.
Well, it's my second least probably, but we aren't doing that. And now we're going to flip the table, and we're going to go to the opposite extreme. What has been your most favorite game so far? And whoever is able to recall theirs can start.
I'll start.
Boom, easy, Chrono Trigger.
Kenny will start.
Boom, easy, Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you want to expand any?
I mean, I talked about it. It's a great game. Loved everything about it.
I agree, and would be hard to not pick that one, but I'm going with Mega Man 2 because how much fun I had with it and just how awesome the character is, and great game.
I think mine's easy too. I mean, I've got two games that I thoroughly enjoyed. I really enjoyed Sunset Riders. It's probably my second favorite, which once again we're not doing. my favorite in out of the 27 games that we've played so far is Gauntlet Legends.
Knew it.
Really enjoyed it. I was not expecting that, and just a beautiful game in my opinion. Which leaves us with the final task, deciding the biggest surprise, the game that surprised us the most. Either we really enjoyed it, didn't expect it, or really hated it and didn't expect it. What game surprised you the most? And make it different than one of your least favorite or most favorite.
Sure, and mine is. For me, it was Perfect Dark. I had played it before and remembered some things, but going into it, you know, it was just blank. So and just given the general consensus of what people think of this game, I thought I'd enjoy it way more, but I didn't. And so every other game I kind of had a good idea of what I was getting into, except for Yonoi. No one knows what they're getting into. But yeah, for me, it was Perfect Dark.
I think the biggest surprise for me was Sunset Riders. you know, at first glance, it looked a little cheesy. That sort of side-scrolling shooter, I didn't expect to like much. Just generally speaking, that kind of game wouldn't normally be one that I found myself enjoying. But something about that game had me just grinning. And I had a lot of fun with it.
Dustin?
Half-Life was probably the game that surprised me the most. I knew all of the hype that surrounded the game and the series, and so I understood that, but I'm not a first-person shooter kind of guy, and so I usually stray away from those games, not even giving them a chance. But, you know, our randomizer randomly selected that game from our Retro Master list, and when I sat down and started playing it, I really didn't stop. I beat the game within our week of playing it. I got right to the end, and then I beat it as soon as we finished recording the episode. And thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed that game. It's a surprise that I haven't played Half-Life 2 yet. I'm looking forward to doing that when I get the chance. All right, guys. It's time to randomly select our new old game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. We've got our Retro Master list. You can find that up all on our social media. And from that list, we are going to spin the randomizer and find out what our game is. The game that we're going to be playing now for the next 7 days is a game called Home Alone 2.
Yes! Yes! I've been pulling for this game for a long time for some reason.
I don't know why, though. Why? Just because Home Alone is so good? Because
he loves Home Alone.
I love Home Alone, but I probably won't love the game, but I just thought it was funny.
I hope you do. I don't know. I played the original Home Alone game, and it's an enjoyable game. I think I played this one, too, and
I
remember
it
being enjoyable.
I had a version of Home Alone. I don't know if it was this. It might have been this one that was on Game Boy that I played a little bit of as a kid, and it was really, really hard, but I kept trying to play it, so we'll see. Maybe I've grown up.
Well, that will be the game that we're playing. We'd love for you to play along with us. If so, send us in your commentary. We'll include it on next week's episode. You can email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. Tweet us at ngppodcast, facebook.com/ngppodcast. If you want to find us, you're going to be able to find us.
Absolutely. And if you guys have some favorite Easter eggs in games, those would be a great thing to mention this week as well. Always fun to hear about those.
It's a unique episode, and if you've listened through the entirety of this episode, we applaud you. But because it's so unique, how about let's end in a unique way? And one of you guys, how about you sign us off in an appropriate and proper way?
Okay.
Nolan, that's all on you. You're the charisma guy.
Oh, okay. We'll see you next week.